not too long ago I had another encounter with Jesus. The difference between William Marron Branham and Kenneth E. Hagin. Two of them were prophets, great prophets sent to the body of Christ, sent to a generation. Hallelujah. It happens to be that in the prophetic ministry of William Branham, there was an angel that was assigned to minister alongside him. And most times, he will keep teaching and preaching, waiting for that angel to come. His visions were given by angelic assistance. And so he is incapacitated until that angel shows up. And when the angel shows up, he begins series of disclosures by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And his ministry was deep into the testimony of signs and wonders. And when I say signs and wonders, I'm not just talking about healing signs. You can reduce the volume. You can reduce the volume and set yourself free from that. Amen. I didn't say take all the volume. I just said reduce the volume. Hallelujah. Now, so he had so much favor with God that God was bringing him into a realm where he was going to pioneer again the ministry of signs and wonders. When I say the ministry of signs and wonders, I'm not talking about praying for the sick getting healed. I'm not talking about praying and somebody's leg grows out. I'm talking about signs and wonders. And when I say signs and wonders, I'm talking about turning water to wine. God was restoring that dimension of spirit activity, and he wanted to restore it through the ministry of that man. And actually, the signs and wonders began to manifest. I've seen some of his pictures where there was a cloven tongue of fire upon his head, sometimes a crescent fire on his head, and it was not photoshopped. In fact, there are some public places in the U.S. that that man's picture is still hanging with that flame. Now, so when the guy preaches, a physical fire will appear on his head that is visible to the human eye, and pictures captured. Now, so it was a dimension of signs and wonders that God was restoring. And when God begins to bring such witness into perspective, it means he's about to unveil another layer of the knowledge of his glory. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to pause my sermon now so that the media people can help us with something. Media people, are you ready? I just want those pictures so that I can tell a story. But while we wait for them, I continue my sermon. So his ministry was significant. His ministry was supposed to be like the ministry of E.W. Kenyon. E.W. Kenyon is a great seer of divine revelation. In fact, by the time he preached the things he preached, the church called him a heretic. It took 400 years later in the development of truth and life in the body of Christ to accept for the body to accept the ministry of Kenyon. He was a colossus. He lived many generations ahead of his time in the spirit. Most of our faith fathers, not all of our faith fathers, actually went back to the relics that were left in his books. Most of them quote him verbatim. But when he preached the things he preached, he was not accepted by the body of Christ. He was outside. He was like a figure that was separate from what was happening in the generation. That was how God placed the ministry of William Marron Branham. Signs and wonders, evidences to show that God was at work, were all littered across his ministry. But when we check his ministry through hindsight today, we see that there was a major deficiency that the ministry had. And that was the reason why there was a final veering off from the center of his call. His prophetic insight and his prophetic ministry was based on the ministration of an angel. It came to pass when he desired the office of a teacher, because he saw that teachers did not have as much burden as he had. He finished preaching a full sermon and everybody enters the prayer line. They want the prophet to see for them. And because of the tender nature of his heart, he was available to be that seer. At the end of the day, he was found out. And he felt that the assignment of the teacher was less burdensome. And that was where he veered off from his prophetic call and then began to teach. And the thing about the fivefold ministry offices is that you have security in your own particular call. If you deviate from your call, you are going to enter into error. And there are demons that wake on this side and on that side of error, of veering off, to play you host and to establish you in error all the days of your life. And especially if you have plowed the path of God. Are you with me? If you have plowed the path of God sufficiently, your stature will be used as a prism that will bring darkness to the body of Christ. And so he veered off from his prophetic calling. He became a self-imposed teacher. And he taught all kinds of things. Raised a movement in error. And that movement exists till this day. It was the power of his stature that made that movement thrive, even though it was established on error. But you see, he was not ordained by God to end that way. He was supposed to be a prophet of signs and wonders. But unfortunately, the thrust of his ministry was through the instrumentality of the operation of an angel. That was his deficiency. In Kenneth Hagin's case, Kenneth Hagin was also a prophet the way he was a prophet. But you see, the encounters that Kenneth Hagin had were encounters with Jesus. Whereas this guy was operating angelic and all of that, cherubic kind of ministry and so much signs, so much wonders. In fact, the signs in Branham's ministry bested that of Hagin. But the issue is that in Hagin's prophetic ministry, he had encounters with Jesus. Oh, somebody wants to make us know that he has a phone. Well, we will assume that that is a mistake. And if it happens again, you are an agent. And I will attack you from that point. Hallelujah. And that is very serious. You won't go to the mosque with your phone. For fear that it will ring, you leave it at home. You can't enter into the mosque with your shoe. No matter how costly that shoe is. I remember one Alhaji does this. He came back home barefooted because they stole his shoe outside. And the next time he went to mosque, he still had to remove his shoe. So if we hear that sound again, we'll release something on you. It will take you 10 years to recover from it. Now, so please don't distract me again. Alright? You are not coming with me. Hagin had encounters with Jesus. In fact, it was through his ministry that gradually believers began to become confident about prophetic things, about encounters, about visions. The church was so primitive. And generational eye-openers had to begin to rise, to blaze the trail and to create pathways for the sons of light to navigate upon. Whereas Branham had encounters with angels, Hagin had encounters with Jesus. And Hagin lived for up to 90-something years, and his ministry opened an entire website of kingdom reality, establishing the basics of our work with God. His ministry was the establishment of the basics. In his old age in ministry, he had other encounters that gave him further insight, and he wrote books to balance probable excesses that might be the result of the previous teachings that he had laid out. But his disciples decided to shut some of those books down, because they were already in the error that he was trying to correct. His last book, The Midas Touch, never got to Africa. If you have a copy of it today, you travel to the U.S. to get it. That was where he defined and balanced the doctrine of prosperity. These things were encounters. So what I'm saying is that some people's prosperity template today is actually in error. Some of the things he wrote in that book was supposed to correct its oppression right now. But that book was not allowed to see the light of day by his disciples. But he left a testament. He left a life of covenant produced great things for the body of Christ to leverage upon. So he died in his call. He died accurate. He died with a witness and a testimony. Meanwhile, the man that had angelic, at some point did not have a reference to base his life, and he was able to veer off with so many visions that he had. Are you with me? In fact, a man cannot be said to be an apostle if he doesn't have encounters with Jesus regularly. There are seasons that Jesus will appoint visitations for such a personality, because he's going to be a standard bearer. He's going to be like a reference point. The grace on him will make him look original within the context of his service. All right? Are you with me? In fact, in most cases, people that are teachers will not have what to teach if apostles are not accurate. But I know most of you don't understand. You don't know that. When you find a man recycling a message for 14 years, he's actually out of food. No, you don't understand. So he is not aligned with any apostolic grace, because the apostolic grace is designed to access new technologies in God that will advance the church further. So the teacher does not have that call. Are you with me? The teacher can pick a revelation from the Bible and preach it. But an apostle will be taken through a process so that he becomes that revelation. He himself. So there is no way an apostle can preach to you without exposing his life. Because his life is the story from where he is a revelation. That's the difference. So the teacher may not have authority in some quarters because it's through light he's speaking. This one is drawing from his own life. And so it means that if you are not accurate in life as an apostle, you will lose your authority. Because of the need to raise the standard in generation after generation, God begins to raise apostolic people and he occasions visitations for them. Media people, are you ready now?